Once you turn to Romans chapter 1, we are continuing where we've been focusing on for quite a few weeks when it comes to the reality of the gift of righteousness. And we started off quite some time back when we looked at Romans chapter 1. And today we want to look at a practical way on how to appropriate this righteousness of Christ more and more, and keep on looking at the benefits, keep on looking at the evidence of this gift of righteousness. And when we start to see the evidence of this, we begin to know that we have actually received it by faith and be walking in faith. And so it's really helpful to be able to experience the evidence taking place within us and around us that confirms, wow, God, thank you that I am your righteousness. You've given me your righteousness as a gift. And when we, as we develop, as we grow in this, what takes place is that there's so much of what it really means to be a child of God, sonship, the freedom. There's so much that begins to go to another level, if I could use that terminology rather, that it really helps us to walk deeper and deeper, and it's like us growing up into the fullness of Christ. And this revelation of righteousness is a key for us to be able to really grow up in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at Romans chapter 1, and remember Paul is speaking about the gospel that of God that was really promised before it even became a reality. And throughout the ages, the gospel was predicted, was promised through the prophets, etc. And then the gospel is about his son, Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on, and we look there in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And so we started looking at that understanding that here in this incredible good news of God, in and through his son Jesus, there is a righteousness that we could not get ourselves. God had to reveal it. So it's the work of God. That's why it's grace. He reveals by the Holy Spirit the reality of Christ's righteousness, and we receive that by faith. Simply believe. And so that's been the journey for quite a while now, of just understanding that what God has given to us because we simply believed in Christ Jesus. God worked within us. The Holy Spirit opened up the reality of God, and we accepted, we believed. And now that righteousness of Christ, his perfection, God has given it to us. So his perfection belongs to you and I who believe. And that's the crucial part this morning. So that's what we're looking at. And we're learning how to walk in the incredible life of righteousness. And that's why, as we've been going through that, part of the evidence that we are walking in this righteousness is the freedom from feeling condemned. It's the freedom from a guilty conscience. It's the freedom from the fear of one day dying and there's a judgment day, because perfect love drives out the fear, etc., because we've been declared righteous. So we've been looking at these truths. We looked at Romans chapter 5, following the example of Abraham, where Abraham just simply believed in God. What God had spoken, faith comes from hearing. God spoke to Abraham about a promise, and Abraham believed, faith, God birthed faith in him, and God said, now my righteousness I give to you. You are now righteous. And that's why even Abraham would lie, he would sin, but that didn't change his position before God. God declared him righteous, and that's why there was such a friendship with Abraham and with God, because of the gift of righteousness. He simply believed despite the mistakes. Same with you and I. We've been declared righteous despite our mistakes. Okay? And that's crucial because it keeps us in a reality of intimacy with the Father, because it's not about us now, it's what Christ has done, and we have received what Christ has done as a gift. And that keeps us into the tremendous reality of sonship, of being loved by the Father, and not walking with a sin consciousness, but with such a sense of righteousness that we have received. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, we had a look over there. Therefore, since we have been justified because of the gift of righteousness, we've been declared not guilty through faith. We have peace with God, and we looked at that peace, and that dovetail joint is a good illustration of that union, no longer broken. And so we had a look at it, and then we got there to verse 17 of chapter 5, because he's speaking now about how sin came into the world through one man, Adam, but now how grace and how righteousness, etc., life comes through the one man, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 17, we spend time looking at that. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more? And notice how much more. That's why we've got to see the victory, the power of righteousness, dealing with death, dealing with sin. We could not escape the law of sin and death. That's the reality. But now we see the power of Christ's righteousness and the power of that gift he's given to you, and now we have been declared righteous. We live in this power of righteousness. And what is this power of righteousness? What happens over here? We read there again. Death reigns through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through this one man, Jesus Christ? So we're starting to see something about this righteousness that is so powerful, that enables people to come free from the reign of death, from the reign of sin, from the reign of Satan, etc., and come into the life of Christ Jesus, and we are able to reign now because of this righteous gift that we have received. And now we look there in the last verse in 23, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So again, when we speak about grace, but often people, we are struggling to experience the grace of God because we have not yet acknowledged that we've received the gift of righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness. You see, it's not through our own efforts, things like that. Now we realize, but Jesus, it's your righteousness, your perfection. Now grace reigns. And that's why when Paul writes about the promises for Abraham, he said there that the promise that Abraham received came through righteousness by faith. See, when we're praying for things now, it's not about, have I done good enough, all those kind of things. We're praying in the name of Jesus. He is the righteous one. The promise of God are yes and amen through Christ's righteousness. That's how we receive the promises. It's Christ's righteousness that you and I receive what God has promised. And that's the freedom. See, this is the reality of sonship now. This is the reality of you and I walking in a relationship seated with God because of Christ's righteousness. So now, months back, we looked at John chapter 14 when Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. Those who abide in me and my word abides in you, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. This is how he's training us and leading us now to know what when we ask in his name, we are asking in the reality that he is a righteous one. We are asking what he has done in his name. And so now we are learning, just as Abraham learned, the promises came into his life based on the reality that God had given him his righteousness. Your prayer, that's why the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's the righteousness that God has given to you and I, his son's righteousness, and we're asking in his name, and that's how we start to see many, many prayers being answered. So that takes the burden off our perfection. That takes the burden off our performance. That takes the burden off if I'm praying right or if I'm not praying right. That takes the burden off about, oh man, I had a bad thought yesterday, now I can't pray. All of that, that's removed because we have been declared righteous. Okay, and now we're learning how to walk. Now the more we grasp righteousness, you'll find the more there's that law of the Spirit of life that we looked at last Sunday, operating, bringing about the incredible transformation that's taking place from glory to glory. Okay, so we had a look at that previously. So in 2 Corinthians, yeah, let's go to 1 Corinthians first, just to give you a bit more scripture that you can meditate on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness and redemption. So again we see how Jesus Christ came for us, our righteousness, okay, our wisdom, our redemption. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read a very similar thing when we are looking at that whole portion of reconciliation and the message and the ministry of reconciliation. And then he writes in the last verse, be reconciled to God, God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, now keep that in the back of your mind, because when we're going to look at Romans chapter 6 down now, you're going to see how important this truth is, that we have become the righteousness of God. When we understand in the context of warfare, as we continue over here. Now, so let's go to Romans chapter 6. And again, when we looked at Romans 8 last Sunday, we saw that therefore there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of sin of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, we who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So verse 2 onwards, that word there, therefore, that, or because, it's saying over there, this is the evidence that there's no condemnation. The evidence is now that you have the new law operating. Remember in chapter 7, we looked last Sunday, in chapter 7, there's the law of the sin operating. There's the law of the mind operating that Paul's describing. There's God's law of the Ten Commandments and all the do's and don'ts that God gave to the Israelites. And that was a big battle that Paul was describing in trying to live what God's law was saying, but yet his conscience, the law of his conscience was messing around. The law of the sin within him was messing around and he couldn't do anything. He kept on doing the wrong thing. And he said, who's going to help me? And that's when he said, but praise be to God, because now he's telling us what Christ did and what the law could not do, what Christ has done. And then he takes us into Romans 8 about the new life in Christ Jesus, the whole new covenant that he's referring to. But he says over there that the evidence of the fact that we have now been declared righteous and there's no condemnation, the evidence is that there's a law of the Spirit that's working, that's has overridden that law of sin. That's profound, because nobody could make such a statement like this. To say, listen, when you received Christ Jesus and you have been declared righteous and God put his Spirit, you have a Holy Spirit in you that is so powerful that overrides that sinful law. And that's why as believers, we've got no excuse to say, oh, I'm just human. I just can't help myself. And those kind of things. And make excuses using Romans 7 to say, well, look, Paul battled with that, and look how holy he was, and he battled. They don't understand the context of what Paul is saying. It's describing the life in the law, not life in the Spirit, in Romans 7. And so you and I now are in that place where we can realize, but God, this law that's working in me is now enabling me to be able to live according to the Spirit. It's enabling me to be able to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. It's enabling me to go back to Romans chapter 6, as Christ died, I died, as He raised, I raised, in order to live a new life for the glory of God. This is the law that we have received, the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is so important, because now we've got a message of reconciliation, and many, many Christians are out there that's not operating in the truth of what Christ has done. And they're battling all the time with all kinds of the guilty conscience that amongst believers is unbelievable. Because they don't know the truth, and they're not yet accepted the truth that is in Christ Jesus. They're struggling, guys. We've got a message of reconciliation. We've got a ministry of reconciliation. So God is helping us not only in our own lives to experience the freedom that comes in Christ Jesus, but also to help many, many people that are battling in these areas where we can share. But look, let's go back to the Word of God. Let's see what we have received. So we have a starting point. What has Christ already done? All the time, back to the cross. What has God done for us in our place where we were trapped by this powerful law of sin working in us? What has Christ done on the cross? What's the love of God look like when it comes to understanding how He set us free from that law of sin and death? It's good news. See, it's not a prosperity gospel. It's not a gospel that says, come to Jesus and your life's going to be all right, etc. No. God's predestined purpose for all of us is to be conformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. So, and that's why the law of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, is helping us to live out our predestined purpose in God. So in Romans chapter 6, here Paul, let's go to verse 1 quickly. And what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we limit it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism and in death, in order that just as Christ was raised, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Powerful truth is. And then he's speaking about these things, and now we come to verse 11. And we want to focus on 11 to verse 14. Let me just read verse 10. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So straight away, Paul is giving us an incredible instruction over here. Just as Christ died to sin once and for all, in the same way, now I begin to accept this truth, begin to take hold of this truth, get into an agreement with this truth so that you can walk in this truth. Not just having the knowledge, that's important, but it's also now about, in the same way, now I need to accept this. This is real. This is the Word of God saying, just as Christ died once and for all in order to live a new life, exactly the same for you and I. In the same way, Lord Jesus, You died, I've died, because when You died, I died with You. When You were raised from the dead, I've been raised with You in order to live a new life, just as You live for the glory of God. In the same way, that's you and I as children of God. No excuses. Exactly the same way. See, I cannot explain how serious. Years back, when I'm praying and I saw the world, and I saw darkness, and I saw light, and I saw grey. And the grey was a compromised believers. No, useless. See, and God is busy worldwide helping the grey to repent and realize we are light. And to live as light in this world. And you'll see the reason for that as we go on this morning. And so, he says over in the same way, so that's important, and you'll see why it's important now. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. How many believers do you know that actually say, man, I'm alive in Christ Jesus? How many believers do you know, oh man, today's another day? See, they're ignoring truth. They're not living grace reigning through righteousness. So their life's a misery. These are believers. Always moaning, always groaning. Life's a misery because they're not believed and not received to experience how grace flows, God's involvement through His Son's righteousness that we have received so that we can live a life alive in Christ Jesus to live for the glory of God. Can you imagine the army of God that's now, we live alive in Christ. We have said no to sin. We have got into agreement. We've died with sin once and for all. Yes, we're going to fall now and again, but that's not our lifestyle anymore. Because the law of the Spirit of life is operating that enables me to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Powerful, righteous army. Light in the city. We really need to pray for the body, because we'll see now when we start to speak about the righteous, the weapons of righteousness. In a company that's corrupt, one man will struggle, because normally in a corrupt company, because darkness is so involved, they would try and work the righteous person out. But if every believer in that corrupt company begins to become and understand what it is to be righteous, how powerful is that white righteous weapon to expose unrighteousness. So that's why it's not just one person. God, we need to come together, rise up the army in the company, in the schools, wherever we may be. So it's not just one lone person, but now the body of Christ is rising up as an army of righteousness in a workplace. We'll see why it's so important. So we carry on. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its evil desires, because again, there's a new law operating now, the law of the life in Christ Jesus. He is sinless. We have been declared righteous. Do not offer, now this is the important one, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. That's the command speaking to believers. Do not offer parts of your body or members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. You know this word instruments? It's used 6 times in the New Testament only. And every single time it's used in the context of warfare. It's an instrument of war. So do not offer your body as weapons of unrighteousness, in other words. Don't offer your tongue as a weapon of unrighteousness. It destroys. It demolishes. It breaks down. Don't offer your mind as a weapon of unrighteousness. And we don't need to offer because We've died to that power of sin in Christ Jesus. We're no longer a slave to that sinful nature. We now need to be obedient to that sin, that law of sin and death, because that law of sin and death demands our obedience. That's no longer our master in Christ Jesus. He says here, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body. So this is a choice that we have. I can now surrender and offer my body and allow my body, my mind, my tongue, my ears, my eyes, whatever my body, and I can now use it as a weapon of unrighteousness to just continue advancing wickedness in the towns and the cities and families, destroying, destroying, destroying. How do we speak? Oh, okay, let's carry on. Yes. Do not offer the parts of your body as instruments of wickedness, but rather, this is us now, because of in Christ Jesus, a new life, but rather offer yourselves to God. First of all, offer yourselves to God. Offer yourselves to God as a warfare, as a weapon of righteousness. Ooh, that's a different mindset. Today, Father, here I'm offering myself, I'm presenting myself. You've declared me righteous. I'm your weapon going into this dark world. We, the army, we, your weapon here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Light consists of all truth, righteousness. See? And all of a sudden now it's a different way of thinking. Now, today, Father, I'm your instrument of war. I'm an instrument of righteousness. And as I go in today, I want to thank you, Father, that you are going to be doing something that's going to destroy, it's going to expose unrighteousness. Purpose, reason for existence. It's not just, I'm a child of God. No, we are an instrument. We are a weapon of God in dealing with darkness. That's why in those songs that we sang this morning, not just doing nothing. Let's carry on, and he says over here, but rather offer yourselves to God and those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. Let's have a look at this, just to, again, give you some scriptural backing over here. Romans 13. In Romans 13 and verse 12, he's speaking about the coming of our Lord Jesus, and he says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So he's speaking about the believers, and I would call them the grey believers. It's compromised, and they're not really living as children of light. And he's now speaking to them, and he's, wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness. That's what we just looked now in verse chapter 6. But put on the armor of light. That word armor is the exact same word used as instruments. All the time, offer your body as an instrument. It's always in the context of some weapon, some warfare context. Put on the armor of light. righteousness is pretty light. It's pure, it's holy. Let's have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When we read there in verse 7, here we see again this life in the Holy Spirit, and Paul is speaking about some of the hardships he's been going through and how they've been standing and how God has been good in empowering them all the time. And they carry on, and he says, with sincere love and truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. And they continue. Same word is used again, concerning instruments, weapons of righteousness, as weapons in both right hand and left hand. Another one that we can have a look quickly is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then verse 4. The same word again, where Paul is speaking and he says, let me go verse 2. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standard of this world. So that's the reference over here. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with, the same word again, the weapons we fight with, the instruments we fight with, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient. That's pretty powerful. So let's take a look. We've read over there now, don't offer the members of your body, don't offer yourself as weapons of unrighteousness, but rather now offer yourself as a weapon and offer the members of your body. Now let's just take, my mind, I no longer will offer it to be used for unrighteous thinking, unrighteous thoughts, but now I'm presenting it to you, I'm offering it as an instrument of righteousness. So your truth now that you will share, it's an instrument of righteousness. It's just so powerful that is demolishing the strongholds in my mind. It's a weapon to demolish strongholds that we've had for years and years and years and years. That's how powerful this weapon is of righteousness. How many times do we find that our minds are taking us down in a dark way and starting to map out my behavior? But now when we get the truth and we start walking in truth and we're offering our minds, it's no longer a slave to that, but now it's a slave to righteousness. It's a weapon. It's my mind's a weapon of righteousness. And your truth, as I walk in there, will now live out. I'll live it out. And that's powerful, how it demolishes so many things. The way I think about people, the way I act, the way I'm going to make a decision. Now there's a new weapon at work. My mind has been presented to you. I've believed that your son's blood has redeemed me. I believe my mind as well now is now in the aspect of this incredible gift of righteousness. What happens if we no longer offer our ear to be an instrument, to be a weapon of unrighteousness? So the gossip you might hear, the lies you might hear, the stories that we hear, and we don't offer our ear to that anymore. But now my ear, Father, is an instrument of righteousness, a weapon of righteousness. I hear what you're going to say, and I'm going to respond to what you're going to say. So as I walk in truth, it's so powerful. I'm no longer a slave to unrighteousness. Now my ears are attentive to righteousness, to your ways, to your will. Paul puts it another way in Romans 12. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your pleasing, acceptable worship unto God, then you will know the perfect will of God. Because now my mind, now my ears are now instruments of righteousness and no longer lending it out to all the other stuff that we inclined to do that. What happens if we offer our eyes as an instrument of, as a warfare weapon of righteousness? What am I looking at? What am I watching? Look at David, the King David, when he should be in war and he sees a beautiful woman having a bath in his eyes. Look how it led him into murder. How his eyes was an instrument of unrighteous behavior. We are weapons of God. When we begin to look at the eye gates, we begin to look at, Lord, these eyes, I must make sure that I'm not offering it to being an instrument of unrighteousness, but now my eyes must be instruments of righteousness. All of a sudden, my spiritual eyesight opens a little bit clearer. I start to see things differently. Now I know how to pray and I know how to do whatever I must do because now I'm seeing things differently, I'm hearing differently, it's no longer sold to unrighteousness. What happens if we now, instead of using our tongue as a weapon of unrighteousness, now my tongue is used as a weapon of righteousness? Totally different. And this is the call of God, helping us to grow up more and more and becoming very aware, Lord, today my mind is it's yours as a weapon of righteousness. My eyes, my ears, my tongue, the members of my body. How many Christians are sleeping together in an ungodly sexual relationship, offering their bodies, the members of their sexual realities into destructive behavior, destroying marriages, destroying families, things like that. Now when our body is an instrument of righteousness, totally different. So we're learning now to be who God has called us to be in Him, righteous. Let's have a look. And another scripture quickly. I thought this scripture would help us. And remember we looked at Ephesians chapter 5 some time back. But let us read it now with the more insight that God has given to us about righteousness. In verse 8, or verse 7, he's speaking about people that are using their bodies, using their minds, using their hands, their feet, using every part of their members as instruments of unrighteousness. And then he said, but that's, you've got no place for that. That's improper for God's holy people. In other words, that's improper for God's righteous people. And he says over there, because of such things, God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. We're no longer going to be partners offering our bodies to participate in what they were busy doing. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That word expose. When we are now become an instant, a warfare weapon of righteousness for God, what happens? It starts to expose the unrighteousness. It's the same word that Jesus uses where the Holy Spirit will come and convict the world of unbelief, of righteousness and of judgment. It's the same word that says there that will prove beyond a shadow of doubt. Can you imagine when the body of Christ is no longer compromised with the world, but the body of Christ is now offering every part of who we are as instruments of God's righteousness, light, light, light. Shining. The purpose of it is to prove without a shadow of doubt the reality of Jesus Christ, the life in Him. And that proof we see over there is not to condemn them. No, This is what it does. This is why it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The proof of us living as a righteous people, as light, is for people to get saved. It's people to be convicted, where the Holy Spirit will prove that what they're doing is sin, so that they can repent, give their life to Jesus, because they can see in us that we do not live by the law of sin and death, but we live by the law of the Spirit of life. They can see in our behavior, they can see in everything about our speech, the way we think, everything. They can see the evidence of the life of Christ within us. They can see the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ within our lives. They can see, have tangible evidence, that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are free of that. Powerful. And this is, I believe, that's why, you know, we look at the municipality, and there's a lot of corruption. But I know that the believers there participate in it, compromise. And we're praying for God, please, who wants to stop corruption. But imagine if the believers in the municipality or the schools or whatever it may be, if they start, God, no longer are we going to offer our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness. We're not going to be partners of this. But now, we are your righteousness. Imagine that army rising up. Imagine the prayer of a righteous army in the municipality. See, we need to pray for God to awaken. And that's why that encounter about prophesy life. Because most of the believers are just, they want to quickly come for help, but they don't want to live a righteous life. They want to continue participating in the darkness. God loves the people of our nation. He's calling us to live as light. We've got friends in South Sudan. And South Sudan is, you know, the war, a lot of brokenness, trauma and so forth. But here is a small group of righteous brothers and their wives that have started to make a stand. And in that righteousness, suddenly you'll start to find how the hidden things are going to be exposed. But the righteousness, as they are instruments of righteousness, is more powerful than the darkness. And when the body of Christ starts to walk in righteousness, they will start to see the power, because grace reigns through righteousness. And they start to see the powerful work of God in that nation as well. So we're praying for South Africa. We're praying for our towns. For that awakening, arise up from your sleep. No longer participating in the darkness. You are children of light. Let's live as children of light. Lord, we are learning now to come and present, come and offer our minds, our feet, our hands, our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our whole body. What a privilege that we can come and offer it as a weapon of righteousness to expose darkness. You speak about your glory that covers the whole earth. You speak about your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord Jesus, you spoke about in the Great Commission for us to go out and make disciples. And because of your righteousness, where the enemy's got no hold over you, we can go now as your righteous children to go and make disciples, to advance the kingdom. Your kingdom is more powerful than any other kingdom. Father, you spoke through Daniel about the growth of your kingdom, where your kingdom just grows and grows and grows and grows, and it destroys and demolishes every other kingdom. So we're beginning to understand the power of your righteousness, the effects of your righteousness. Jesus, when you said there that Satan's got no hold of you because you obey the Father all the time, and now we have been clothed in righteousness, now we have been declared righteousness, and we want to walk in that truth, Lord Jesus, just as you did, where the enemy's got no hold. So we're asking that any open doors, any areas in our lives that you're now wanting to deal with in our lives, that you will show us, so that part of our lives we can present it as an instrument, as a weapon of righteousness, and no longer using it for the enemy and for the sin. So we want to thank you that you're sharing with us today something so powerful, so practical, that we can grow into, and we look forward to seeing the evidence of all of this in our lives, but also around us as we touch many, many people. Years back, Father, when you shared about it's pointless doing spiritual warfare if there's no righteous army on the earth. And we see now how that's all coming together, whether your righteous army is rising up, Jesus, as you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and beginning to come to you and offer ourselves to you and say, yes, Lord, we will ride with you. You speak about the heavenly armies, Lord Jesus, all clothed in white, righteous army. And we want to thank you. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work in us. Thank you for your law, your rule, your power that so powerfully work within us. What a privilege when we come to the place where we are tempted, where we can say, no, I'm not going to offer, but now it's unto you, Lord. Lord, you're showing us a breakthrough in not yielding to temptation. You're giving us a breakthrough here, truth, that is enabling us to at that moment to say no because of the law of the Spirit, getting into agreement, and how we can then say, but now I offer myself to you as instruments, as a weapon of righteousness, and experiencing your grace at that very moment, empowering us to have the victory. Right grace reigns through righteousness. And we're learning how to reign in righteousness, Father, because we're receiving your grace. And this we thank you, Father. And we ask, Lord God, for the body of Christ worldwide. We ask, Father, that the call, the prophecy, the word, the declaration of life will go forth, of righteousness will go forth, that the family, your family, Father, will rise up now and let us now become this mighty righteous army here on earth to advance your kingdom. Your will be done here on earth. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. And finally, Lord Jesus, you asked the Father and you said, Father, they're not leaving this world, they're in this world. Protect them by the name you've given me. Protect them from the evil one. And we ask, Father, that in the name of Jesus, that prayer that he prayed for all of us, now, Lord, protect us from the evil one. He's still in this world. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. And this we ask, Father, in his name, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.